Today we have Richie Ng.
What up, y'all?
And Richie, he's had a very, very complex and interesting life. And we're here to talk about that today. And especially for the Asian youth, but all youth in general. I feel like Richie has been through a lot and has a remarkable story to tell. And that's what we're going to share today. So, Richie, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 48.
48. God damn. You look good for your age.
Oh, Holy shit. Thank you. Prison preserves you.
Prison?
Yeah.
God damn. So you've been locked up?
Yeah.
How long?
Well, I first got locked up when I was 16. And I did 18 years. I came home when I was 34. And then when I was 40, an unfortunate incident happened where somebody bumped into my fiance and I ended up punching him in the face. And they sent me back in there for another 5.5 years for that.
What is your ethnicity?
Chinese.
And your parents, were they born in America?
Oh, no. I wasn't even born in America.
Where were you born?
I was born in Hong Kong.
And how were your parents like to you as a child? How was growing up?
In hindsight, they was great, right? But while I was growing up, I felt like they was the worst parents in the world because they spent like 7 days a week working and they was never there. But, you know, like I said, in hindsight, I know they was just trying to do the best they can for us because they came to this country and they didn't even speak English, you know? My brother was born here, but when they came here, they didn't speak no English, so it was hard for them to fit in this country. And in the late 70s, it was tough.
What kind of work did your parents end up doing?
My mom worked in a sweatshop, and my dad was a waiter.
And how was life watching all that as like a child? Like basically, they weren't home, right?
No, they wasn't home.
So how did you survive? Like New York, right? This is the first place. Like this was your home. This is where you came.
Nah, when we first came to this country, we landed in Detroit.
Damn.
Landed in Detroit, and my mom was pregnant at the time, and her friends. We was either going to New York or California. So one of her friends that was already in New York told her that if you have a baby in New York, you don't got to pay hospital fees. So that's how we went to New York instead of California.
How did you guys end up in Detroit?
My parents came through political asylum. So they had a family sponsor them to escape China.
Damn. And so how old were you when you moved to New York?
I was three years old.
And what neighborhood?
Well, we first moved to Queens. So that's how I got my name, because some white kid's name was Richie that lived in our building. And my parents just named me after him. I think when I was 5, we moved to Chinatown. So we stayed in Queens for like 2 years.
New York, you consider that? Is this your home?
Oh, yeah. This is definitely my home.
And you said you joined a gang at 11, right?
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, I grew up in a household where, like I said, in hindsight, I know he was just trying to do the best he can, but he was very hands-on. So,
your dad.
Yeah. So every school year, I have 4 guaranteed ass whippings.
Why?
Report card time. Those are guaranteed ass whipping days. Because although I used to excel academically, like A plus, A plus, A plus, E, right down the academic wise, but the behavioral side was all red. F, 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 U. You know, like I was smart, but I wasn't like a good kid.
You wanted some attention, you think?
Maybe. That could have been it. Because I was like really bad. Like, I was punching teachers in the face, throwing chairs at teachers, and I almost got expelled and got suspended like 3 times.
how did your parents treat you really though when you were a child? Like, I know you said that in hindsight, you know, it's all good, but how did they like treat you at home, like really though, like to make you go that far maybe?
I don't think it's so much the what they made me. It's like, I had no guidance because they were too busy. They was busy working. So I had to go find guidance elsewhere. And, you know, you look for the cool kids. And the cool kids was like the tough kids, the kids that, you know, nobody want to fuck with. So you try to emulate. I tried to emulate them. And that's what happened.
When you say, like, your parents were working all the time, like, you didn't see them at home at all?
No, I didn't see my dad. Because my dad worked from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., right? So I go to school at 7. He's sleeping. I'm not going to wake him up. Come back from school. By the time I go to sleep, then he comes home. I rarely saw him. I might have seen him once a week. And that was on Sunday when it was his day off.
What about your mom?
My mom, I saw her a little bit more because she used to be awake when I used to go to school because she had to go to work at the time. And she wouldn't get home from work until 8 o'clock. And then she'd make us dinner and shit like that. So when I came home from school from 3 to 8, I was dolo. I have a little brother. So it was just me and him.
So
for a while.
Basically, you didn't have a relationship with your parents in a way.
Yeah, you could say that. I developed a relationship with my parents when I went to jail.
Because that's what it took.
Because when they used to come visit me, we used to talk and we used to open up about, yo, why you used to do that? Yo, why this? And, you know.
What was their explanation?
Oh, no. They never thought they was wrong. They was asking me why I did this, why I did that. You know what I'm saying? So
that's not your fault, though.
Well,
look, and I'm sorry if I'm like speaking out of place. I as tough as you are and everything, like, that's not your fault. You know, like, all in a way, all you wanted was some love and attention and somebody to care about you.
I don't even know what I wanted
at 11, though. Like, how could you know what's right or what's wrong? And if your parents aren't there for you, they're not home. Like, I know you got shit handled now, but it's like, in a way, you had no one to turn to except
the streets. Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. And also, like I said, the reason I joined the gang, because I was going to get my ass whipped that night because I bring a knife to school. It wasn't even a real knife. It was, you know, the compass that kids that have in school to make a circle. So I broke the compass off and I had the needle part and I stuck it in the back of a pen and I was scaring the kids in my class. And somebody told the teacher and then called my parents. And
how bad did your dad or mom used to beat you?
When you're a kid, everything seems big, you know? But
like, what? I mean, if it's uncomfortable.
No, it's not uncomfortable. I mean, I've accepted it. Like,
what kind of things did they used to like say to you whenever like your grades were bad? Or
oh, my grades was never bad.
But like, how did they handle? Like, how did they treat you? Really, like at home?
Like, I rarely saw them.
I know that's what I mean. But like you said that, you know, you had 4 ass whoopings guaranteed a year, right? How did they? Did you get beat?
Oh, pretty bad. As a kid, you thought it was like the end of the world. It felt like the end of the world. But you know what? In hindsight, it wasn't really that bad.
How? I know, but just how, like, he hit you, like, punched your face?
No.
What kind of, like?
The Chinese style, with the stick, with the belt, with the clothes hanger. You know, never, like, with closed fists or open hand. You know, it's the old Chinese way. Get the stick with the little feathers on it. The kai mo so, that's what they call it. And the hanger was easy, the wire hangers or and the belt, you know, shit like that.
You said 4 times a year is guaranteed.
It's guaranteed. There's usually more.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. There's always more. But those 4 was guaranteed. No, 6 was guaranteed because parent teachers meeting. Back then, they used to have parent teachers night. Those days was guaranteed ass women too. And I knew it I knew it. And like, I would be prepared. Like, I put like 3 pairs of underwear on.
Harden yourself, right? You must have felt.
Not harden, but because I knew that this is the pattern. This is the pattern. Repetition. Like, so I said, you know what? Today's Parent Teacher's Day. While he goes, I'm putting like 3 pairs of underwear on, putting shorts on, my sweatpants, then put my jeans on. And I'm like, ready to face the music when he comes through that door. And when he comes through that door, yeah, I was prepared.
So growing up, like, it must have been really like lonely and hard for you, because you said that your parents didn't really spend that much time with you. And then on the flip side of that, like you said, it's not abuse or whatever, but the way that they were handling things, well, it wasn't helping.
You know what happened? Like, my dad was a waiter, right? So he couldn't really, his schedule, he couldn't see us. But then later on, he changed his job. He went to school, changed his job, and started working in a hotel. And then he was able to see us more. But by then, I didn't want to see him no more. Like, I was so used to my freedom, like, to do what I wanted to do, that by when he changed his job and he was always home, when I was home, I didn't like it. Like, I was like, yo, I'm so used to being by myself. Like, come on, man. Why you change your job for? Like, let me be. Because by then, the streets already had the hooks in me. Like, I wanted to run the streets. I didn't want to be home. You know? Because before, when they used to be at work, I used to unplug the phone or put it off the hook and then just hit the streets. Because they used to call and check. Yo, are you home? Are you home? Knock the phone off the hook. Then when I come back before they come home, I leave the phone knocked off. And when they say, how come the phone was off the hook? I'd be like, I don't know. Somebody must have kicked the phone and knocked it down. I don't know. It wasn't me. I was home all day. I was wondering why y'all ain't call. But by then, it was too late.
How old were you then?
By then, that was like maybe half a year before I ran away from home and joined the gang. So I'd be like 10.
10?
Yeah, I'd be like, I think I was like 10. Because I was in the sixth grade. I think I was in the sixth grade. But from when I was from the third grade to the sixth grade, I had mad freedom. Like, I ran the streets because my dad wasn't home.
You had to become an adult early because nobody was there.
Yeah, I know.
You grew up
But fast. When they wanted to be there, I didn't want them there no more.
Do you feel like, you feel like your parents accepted you as who you were, like, growing up? Like, before all the jail shit, like, As a child, could you be yourself in front of
your parents? No, hell no. That wasn't our culture, to be ourselves. We know, in my generation, nobody had their own identity. Everybody wanted to be what their parents wanted them to be. Or everybody I went to school with are either dead in jail, or doctors, or bankers, or like high. Like, there's no middle ground where, yeah, he works for this. Like, that's what we was molded to have to be, my generation. There's like no middle class, my generation. Either they made it big or they broke as fuck and they jailbirds. My generation. Generation X.
I'm kind of like speechless a little bit because like the shit you're telling me. Like
I got shot when I was 13. I got shot when I was 14, right? I have a son now. My son is 13. I can't imagine a motherfucker shooting him. Because I'm like, yo, that's a little kid. Like, why would you shoot at a little kid like that? Because my son is 13. And I'm like, hold up. Somebody tried to kill me when I was his age, you know? That was the generation that I grew up. It wasn't just, it's everybody. Like, we was bred, like, to hate each other, to hate ourselves and hate everything. So it was, like, normal.
And I don't want to, like, pry. And if you don't want to speak about it, you don't have to. But when you joined the gang at 11. What kind of shit did they have you do?
Oh, all type of shit. Like, because they tell you, yo, you're the kid. Hold the gun. You know?
So they used you.
Of course. Of course. Of course. All gang life is like that. You get used.
They took advantage of the fact that you didn't have guidance. They took advantage of the fact that you were looking for love. They took advantage of that and made you do it.
Probably. I mean, Definitely. But, you know,
that wasn't love.
No, it's not. But, you know, some people, like, their parents warned them, yo, stay away from this kid because he's going to trick you into joining a gang or whatever, right? You got to stay away from this gang life. I was a little different. I was looking for the kid to make me join, you know? Like, I wasn't recruited. I volunteered because I had to run away from home. So that's why I volunteered. Like, some people could blame, oh, somebody corrupted me and tricked me into joining the gang. Nobody tricked me. I volunteered. I called up the gang dude that I knew. Yo, I got to go because I think my dad is going to flip out when he gets home. I ain't trying to be here for that. Time to go. They were like, all right, we're going to pick you up right now. He even scooped me up. And then I was gone for like, I don't think my parents see me for, they couldn't find me for like 6 months after that.
So, there's basically no relationships. Like, how do you, in prison when you're locked up for that long, you don't have a love life. Really, do you?
I mean, you could. Like, on my first bid, I met my baby mom's on my first bid. And I have two kids with her. And we met while I was in prison.
How do you meet someone through prison?
Huh?
How do you?
There's so many different ways. All right. You could either meet them because they work in the jail. Mm. Or you could meet them from pen pals. And, you know, there's so many ways. Like, I know mad people that's in there that's, their whole relationship has been in prison 10, 15, 20 years. And that their lady stayed with them their whole bid. They get conjugal visits. They have kids. So, you know, you could still have a love life in there if the person that got your back is real. Like, it depends on the person, you know?
You are 48. You're 48 now.
Yeah.
You spent most of your life locked up. Looking back, is there anything like that you regret or?
Well, everything in life happens for a reason, right? The people I've hurt, I regret. The pain that I've caused, I regret. But the path that I led my life, I wouldn't change one single thing. Because it's because of this life that I have two sons. And I wouldn't change that for the world.
I just want to say that, like, as a person, I think that you're incredibly strong. And I don't think that most people can go through what you go through and still be mentally, like, okay. And I also think that even though you've done some things maybe that you're not proud of, I feel like it's just coming from a place of misguidance. And I really think that, I just want to say that you're worth something. And I don't, regardless of whatever you went through with your parents and your trauma and all that shit, like, you as a human being, like, you didn't do anything wrong. In a way, you didn't ask to be born. You didn't, you know, ask to go through all the shit you went through. You didn't ask to get shot at 13 and have to fucking run away. Like, even though you accept what's happened, and I know you're not looking for anybody to feel bad for you or none of that shit. I know you're not looking for none of that. But I want to say that, like, you didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve to, like, live life like that. You didn't deserve to have to go through all that shit. And it's fucked up because, like, I feel like even now you're looking for, like, love. I don't know. I don't mean, like, romantically. Like, you never got that as a child. And you didn't get real love from a gang either. In a way, like...
No, gang life is definitely not real love.
It's bullshit, right?
Bullshit. It's fake love. It's... Everybody trying to use each other for each other's personal gains and stuff like that. There's no honor among thieves.
You were 11 years old. Your parents weren't there for you. You were looking for somewhere or something to feel alive, to feel worth, somewhere to belong to. And these people took advantage of you in a way.
No, of course. Of course they did.
And,
but that's what gang members are, predators. They prey on the weak. They prey on the misguided. they prey on the blind. And it sucks because we do it to our own peoples. I know that now. I wish I knew that when I was a kid, but you know.
Right now, you like saying this, it's important because there are people out here on the streets right now, just like you, 10 or 11, immigrants, other like Chinese or Korean kids going through the same shit like you went through. And not everyone is as tough as you. Like, some kids can't fight back or say no. Like, and you opening up like this, and I know it's not easy for you, but it's, you could save somebody's life just by telling your story. In a way, you're even helping me, because I grew up like pretty similarly in a way. You know, I felt like my parents didn't care about me. I felt like there was no place for me in this world and I was lost. And I became a drug addict real early. And, you know, I started selling drugs and hanging out with the wrong crowd at 16. Like, I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, like I said, and nobody looked like me. And then when I went home, you know, we talked about, you know, abuse or whatever. My dad was a martial artist and he tried to kill me. I'm not talking about, like, that's why I asked you, like, how did you get beat? But he tried to set me on fire, bro.
Damn.
When I was, yeah.
That's rough.
That's just one of the times. You know, Asian culture is really about a lot about image and respect and whatnot. And I guess me using drugs and hanging around those kinds of people, to him, it was dishonorable. And I feel like Asian parents, they expect you to be an extension of themselves, like a toy, a doll, not a real human being. And that's why I'm the way I am, too. Like, all these tattoos and all this shit, like, maybe the same way you were trying to make a name for yourself, that's what I wanted, too. But when I really look back, I just wanted love or someone to care about me. And
it's deep.
I'm sorry. Like,
no, it's very deep, because when you're sharing your story with me, it's awakening feelings that I never knew I had. Like, I'm seeing stuff that I never thought about, you know? Like, we all know, I mean, I always knew that, you know, I had anger issues and stuff like that. But I never knew where the root of my problems was, you know? Because I always thought it's not a problem because I'm okay with it, you know? But
you're not okay with it, though.
In society's eyes, I shouldn't be okay with it because it's not okay. The way I was living was not okay, you know? Like, I didn't even respect life. I didn't know none of that shit, you know? I went to jail at 16 for killing somebody, you know what I'm saying? So I really, like, my mindset was different than the average 16-year-old back then.
You had so much pain and anger. You didn't feel loved. And when you were younger, do you think maybe you felt like you wanted other people to know, like,
I didn't know what I wanted.
Pain. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you see all these other kids, they go back home, they got their family.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
It pisses you the fuck off.
Yeah,
right?
I hated that.
You know, because you don't have that. You don't even know what it feels like.
No.
And they're over here looking at you, judging you. It makes you want to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, definitely did.
And it's like everybody has different talents, and not everybody can be a doctor or a scholar or a politician. The only thing in your life that was steady was violence, right? And that's how you got attention. That's how you got your respect. That's how you got love.
That's how I got noticed. I wasn't invisible no more. I wasn't overlooked. I mattered. Once I got violent, and once I took it to the next level, then, you know, I felt like I belonged.
And it was like a train, right? Because like the more shit you did, the more stripes you got, yep, the more exactly. points you got, the more fame you got for being that.
Yeah.
But what I'm wondering is, was that even you? Or were you just like you just said, you just wanted some love and attention, and that's like the only thing you knew? Like,
well, you know what? There was a lot of Chinese gangster movies back then. And, you know, one of my favorite Asian actors was Chow Yun-fat. And I grew up watching his movies. So, you know, he was so cool. I wanted to emulate him, you know what I'm saying? So he was a gangster in all his movies. So, I don't know.
Besides, like, the gang stuff. Oh, I see. And you always kind of wanted to be an actor, like movies and films, like art. You're an artist.
But yeah, I did.
You wanted to be seen. You wanted to, like, you loved it. But yeah. You just didn't know how to go about it.
That's crazy. It could be. Yo.
You always wanted to be an actor. You always wanted some kind of attention. You didn't know how to get it. Like, you didn't know what to do at the time. Like, your parents are immigrants. They're not into, you know, cameras and art. Hell they're only no. into...
Doctors, things. To be a doctor, a lawyer, or what's the third one? Doctor, lawyer, or a pharmacist. Those were the three goals of all Asian
You are
parents.
An artist. You always
Asian,
have an artist.
Asian American, Asian parents do not like artists.
But, like, you know, no disrespect, but fuck our parents for a second. Yeah. Fuck what they want, right? Yeah. Fuck these people. You always wanted to be an artist. Like, you wanted to create some dope shit, be fly. You wanted to be on cam and wow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, I did. I even used to, when I was a kid, like 6, 7 years old, we used to make a band with all the kids, and I used to make a little bullshit ass stage, and I'd be the lead singer. And
so that's you, man.
And yeah, I always wanted to. I think yeah, I always wanted to be an actor, an artist. Then yeah.
You didn't have support, and in a way, nobody believed in you, and that's why you turned to the streets. And I don't think you enjoy like hurting people. I think that's just your habit and reaction. Like you can't let yourself get this. What I'm saying is, I guess, I know how it is. Like, respect is everything. Mm-hmm. Your name is everything.
Yeah.
And you've lived your life like that. So it's just a habit. It's not that you want to hurt anybody or do anything like that. But at this point, like, that's all you know. But I think you just needed an outlet. You want to be seen. You want to be heard. But nobody's there for you. You feel like nobody gives a fuck, so I'm gonna take that shit. I'm gonna fucking make, you know, do it the way that I have to do it.
I didn't realize I was an attention whore my whole life.
There's nothing. No, you're not.
No, but I'm just saying that I until you broke it down, I never put two and two together and equated that. Like, oh shit. I always thought that I always wanted to be a gangster and becoming an actor was a byproduct of that. But no. The way you described it, it makes sense. It could be that I use I don't know.
You always wanted
sharp. You sharp. We go to the casinos together. we gonna start fucking with these dealers over here.
I see, like, you know, I know, like, I keep asking you these questions, and it's just because I see more to you than like the time you did, than like how you react to shit. Like I see like. Even though you're a grown-ass man, like, in a way, there's an innocence about you because you just want love and attention. I keep saying that. And once again, like, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for even opening up and speaking to me.
No, thank you, because talking to you has made me see shit that I've never seen before. Like, I never looked at it that way, you know? Like, when I leave here, I'm going to be doing a little more thinking than I usually do, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of stuff that you analyzed made sense.
And
I didn't even realize it.
And once again, I'm sorry if I, like, you know, overstepped the line.
No. I'm numb to all pain.
to me, you Richie Ang, you're an artist. You're not, I don't see it. Like, I don't think you're a violent criminal or none of that. What I see is someone who wants to create and people to enjoy art. And you just want to express yourself. And you've expressed yourself through a certain kind of way most of your life. And I see talent in you for you to do something bigger than what you've been doing. And I know I'm younger than you, and that's why I said, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on the line, but you got the look, you got the balls, you're in position. Don't fuck with the streets no more, man. You have nothing more to prove, and you are worth way more than that. And I'm sorry, if, once again, like, but you're worth it. As a human being, like, your life has... I know what it's like to be locked. They give you a fucking number and treat you like... And you're not an animal. You know, you're a human being with a name. Like, you're not...
Sometimes when they put you in there, even if you're not an animal, they create an animal.
I know.
From like, recently, some police in Mohawk, they just beat the shit out of this dude in there and killed him. But... that shit happens all the time. Like, the only reason that they know now is because of the body cams. But that's stuff that happens all the time. And once you go in there, the little bit of humanity that you may have left, they strip it away. And you have to create a new person if you want to survive, if you want to live.
I just want to say, like, you don't have to feel guilty in a way, like, you didn't ask for it. Like, you know, you did. I know it's fucked up, and normal people aren't going to understand, like, when I say you don't have to feel guilty. Because I know you did what you did to survive. And, like, maybe some of the times you did lose your temper and whatever. But even that I understand, because that's just how you got through living life. Like, I want to say, tell you, really, it's not your fault. Like, I know, like, you did what you had to do because... you felt like you had to, and that was the only way. I don't believe you wanted to hurt anybody. I don't believe you wanted to do any of that. I know people respect you around here for what you've done in the streets, but I respect you because you're still trying and not giving up. You're not blaming nobody. You're not, you know, you're not making no goddamn excuses.
No, I definitely can't, because we have a saying in Chinese, sik de hami, dai de hot. That means if you're going to eat the salty fish, don't complain about being thirsty.
And I just want to say, you don't have to eat that fish no more.
Yeah, no.
You don't have to. Mm. Like, you got options. Like, you're worth way more than that. And it's fucked up to say, in a way, maybe, like, even with my parents, they're never going to love and respect me for who I am. Like, as hard as it is to say out loud, like, you can't change them. Like, I'm 32 years old. And I was looking for attention too. Look, I'm a fucking freak. Look at my face, like my neck. Like, you know, in the same way, I was just looking for a place to belong to, and I never found that. So just like you, I had to make a name for myself in my own way. Like, it's not that, like, you know, I'm a porn star. It's not like it's the greatest, like, honor or whatever, but, like, that's how much I didn't give a fuck, like, either. Like, I had no reason to, nothing left to lose. So, like, my parents didn't give a fuck about me. All my friends are dead or in jail or junkies. That's not a friend. Nobody's there for me. So, you know, I did this shit for the same reason like you did. I just wanted to feel alive, and I didn't want to be alone anymore. Because growing up, I felt like nobody else, like, understood my pain. You do, in the same, like, even...
No, I definitely could relate, you know. It's hard to fit in this country as an Asian. It's hard. And your own people, sometimes you can't fit in. The older generation looks down at us because we're not living up to their image of how we should live, you know? So it's rough. I know, you know, you're a survivor because you're here. You're still here. Through all the trauma that you have told me about, especially with the fire thing, yo, you're a strong motherfucker because you're still here, you know? So, you know, I don't have the words to express what you went through, but I know your pain. I definitely know your pain because when you said looking for love and attention and stuff like that, if I told you, no, I'm gonna tell you how desperate I was for attention at one point, right? I was in jail. I was in the box. I've been in the box for like 2.5 years already. I had like 6 more months to get out because I had to do a 3-year stint in the box. The box is like solitary confinement. No human contact. The shower's in your cell. The rec pen is in the back of your cell. So you never come out of your cell unless you have to go to the hospital or the visit. So I had a visit one time, come back from a visit. And there's a guy that I used to talk to on the gallery, but we can't see each other's face. We talk through the vent. So I was walking slow so I could see who I'm talking to. I was talking to this dude for like a year and some change. Never seen how he looked like. So the police pushes me and says, yo, hurry up. I'm like, okay, you're going to fucking regret that because you know what? I'm craving so much fucking attention, but I'm handcuffed and I'm shackled because I'm SHU status, the box status. So when they go in front of my cell, they take the chains off, you step in your cell and you stick your hand out so they can take the cuffs off. So I stuck my hand out, they opened the cuff, I just snatched my hand in. Boom! Took the cuff, locked on both hands. I said, you want to touch? You want to push me? All right. Now you're going to have to come in this cell and get these cuffs back because I'm not giving it to you. And I know you can't leave the jail until you return these fucking cuffs, you cocksucker. And long story short, they gassed me. They tried to gas me out, but they came and fucked me up. But I felt good after that because I got mad attention. So, you know, I get it. Sometimes we do shit to hurt ourselves just to crave attention because they gave me like an extra year in the box for that. And they roughed me up a little. So, you know, it's painful, but I was happy because like you said, I got the attention that I wanted. I didn't even realize that until you said it, but I was happy. I thought I was happy because I got to like vent out and like have human contact and shit, but nah, I was happy because I got the attention.
And I just want to say that maybe people judge you and are afraid of you because of what you've done. I think that's completely wrong. You are not a bully or an aggressor. I see like a victim, not a victim.
Well, I'm not a victim. No. I'm not a victim.
Don't take it that way.
But I'm not a bully. I'm not a bully. And but I have anger issues. But I can never be a victim because then that means I did this to myself. I know this. I caused my own demise.
And I'm sorry, like, I didn't mean it like
that. Not demise, but you know.
I don't mean like that you're weak. I'm saying like...
No, victim doesn't... Being a victim doesn't make you weak. You're a victim because of circumstances that are beyond your control.
That's all I'm saying is people might judge you like because of what you've done, but you did what you had to do, like I said, because of the circumstances. And when I mean victim, I mean victim of... The circumstances.
Oh,
of how
okay.
Yeah, I don't mean.
No, I get it. I definitely get it.
I'm not like. I'm saying that like, I don't see it like. I'm not afraid of you, and other people shouldn't be afraid of you either because. You did what you had to do, because of your circumstances, and when I mean victim. You did the things you had to do. Because of those circumstances. And I don't see a killer. I don't see a thug. I don't see a gangster. Like I said, I see an artist.
Oh, thank you.
And I just want to say thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
So
thank
much,
you.
Man.
Thank you.
And
no, that, I feel that. I
thank
appreciate
you for
that.
Your time, man.
And, I definitely appreciate
just
that.
Just go ahead and shout out your Instagram, any projects you got working.
Oh, well, my Instagram is The Real Richie Ng. And right now I'm doing a podcast with Steve. He was a cop for like 18 years, right? He took down the 109th precinct. And after that, They turned against him and they sent him to jail for a fight too. So, you know, he lost his pension and everything. So I did 18 years in jail. He did 18 years as a cop. So we talk about shit. We talk about random shit all the time. So our channel is System Unfiltered on YouTube.
Anything else you want to shout out?
I'm good. Thank you for your time, man. No, thank you, bro.
It's a wrap.